Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. I'm Mickey Desai. Around the table, we have Becca.
Hello, I am here.
And Ben.
Hi there.
And Dawn.
Present.
Excellent. Now we've got a quorum. And what's on our agenda for today? Dawn, you had originally said something about the Kelley Blue Book Class of 2021.
Yes, came out July 3rd, and there are some fascinating new looking cars on here.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'll be excited.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, this Mach-E Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Mach-E.
Like the EcoBoost Mach.
Yeah. And it, but it looks amazingly cool. I mean, you got to look at this thing. It is gorgeous.
That's that crossover one, right?
It does look like a crossover. It's just a two-door, I think, with a hatchback. I'm trying to look at the specs on it.
I haven't had hatches in quite a while, but
I don't. It's hard to tell. I'd have to go in a little further. But before I go into that, the Tesla Cybertruck.
Oh, that's on the list?
That is on the list. And let me tell you, it reminds me of a movie from the 1960s.
Yes.
With, what's the name of it? It was a space. The Robinsons went to outer space. I'm trying to think. Lost in Space, yes. Lost in Space. It does. It looks like the little rover from Lost in Space.
I must admit, you know, as intrigued as I am about the prospect of an electric engine pickup truck, I think that they lacked, I don't know. I'm very disappointed in the overall design of that thing.
Yeah, and I hopefully it won't start the, yeah, it's a Mach-E first look.
Yeah, I pulled it up as well, and I'm just, I have no words.
You know, but I like the front of it. I mean, look at that nose on that.
Well, we may be crossing wires here, but the Mach-E, the Ford Mach-E, it's one of those things where I'm like, it looks cool. I'm glad they make it. They should have called it something else.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's fine if you get the Mustang logo off of it.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's not a Mustang. It's not a Mach.
Right.
All right. I will agree with that. I will agree that it's not a Mustang. I agree.
Yeah. Over here.
But it is cool looking, and they could have come up with a better name and branded a whole line of them.
Becca, as long as you're on the substandard mic, I don't think you can yell at your computer. You break up really quickly.
Oh, sorry. It's not intentional at the moment. I think I actually am having a stroke here. And
nice.
It just keeps playing in circles over and over, and I gotta close this. It's hurting.
Well, there's another car in here that's interesting. It almost looks like a very.
Well, hang on. I wanna harp on the Mach-E some more. You know, my knee-jerk reaction is. My knee-jerk reaction here is that, you know, they built it and then the marketing team's like, how can we put something on it that's sure to make sure people will actually buy it because we have to borrow this name because no other ideas in the room have their own merit. And that's what I'm pretty sure happened in their major marketing meetings at Ford.
Or somebody said, I know, how can we completely destroy the Mustang label? I know.
Right. I mean, come on, Becca. It's not like they're actually calling it something like, oh, I don't know, a probe.
I would rather it be called a probe.
Oh, my goodness.
I know,
Dawn. We could have done a probe reboot. Probe-E.
Probe-E, yes, exactly. Which would have been
Actually, you know, looking at it, they could have done that. A probe-E.
They could call it a speculum right now, and I would be happier than if they named it the Mustang.
The Ford Spec-E.
I mean, there could have been a lot of throwbacks. I think the Probe-E would have really.
So, I mean, we're sitting here bashing the thing for its name, and I, for the record, I want to say, I want to drive it. I want to see what it's like to drive it. I just think
the
name choice is horrendous. And if Ford's smart, they'll consider. I mean, it's already gone to production, right? It's already out. But
well, it's got a Mustang emblem on the front of it there, and I think that's the killer. It, you know, they're branding it that way, and they need to stop.
Yeah.
I agree. I think if they had gone with something, gosh, there's a lot of things they could have done, but yeah. Sure.
So what, the Tesla Cybertruck is on the list. What else were you going to say, Don?
Oh, this really interesting Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
And I only recently, I don't know how I missed this line of cars, but I just learned about Genesis about a year ago. And this new one that they've got out, it's the G80. It almost is a crossover between a Benz front and a Mercedes rest of the body. Like, it's got a fascinating grill on it. And I don't like where they put that G80. That really messes it. Sometimes I hate front license plates.
Yes.
It just ruins the front of the car.
Well, maybe it's an option that can be removed.
Hopefully. But yeah, it's, oh my gosh. And then if you look in the interior, the dash.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All the pictures I'm seeing online of this car that have a front license plate, they're all European style license plates.
Yes, they are. They are. So maybe in the US you can get away with not having that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the lines on this car are really nice. I like the treatments on the sides.
I got to say, Genesis, you know, being the luxury version of Hyundai, Genesis has been showing up with some really, really compelling designs. And I hope one day I can afford one. That would be kind of cool.
It would be. It's just the way it's got that beefy front grille on the back. It's really sharp looking.
But speaking of beefy front grille, Ben, you saw one of those monstrous BMWs the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them by now.
Yeah. And are they as bad in person as they look on paper?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen the worst one that I've seen in pictures, but I've seen one of the pretty bad ones. The one that was the worst I saw was actually parked in front of a customer I visited. I was visiting a place that actually makes parts for BMW. It's one of the suppliers for the Spartanburg plant up in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And a brand new, I think it was probably an X5, but I have no idea, mid-sized BMW SUV was parked in front of the facility. And I saw that grill. I just went, "Gah, that is as, that really is as bad as it looked." But then a few days later, I saw a sedan model, and I didn't catch which one. Two of them actually on a flatbed. They were both, you know, like a non-metallic battleship gray color. They both had huge grills, but the grills and all the rest of the trim were black. Mm. And I can say that the Mega Grill looks a little bit less bad in black than it does in chrome.
So what is the thing with the Mega Grill? Is this like an automotive industry trend, or is it specific to BMW
I would say it's a big trend. I mean, you know, not only this Genesis, which the shape of its grill, I think, makes me think it's ripped off from Cadillac.
Yeah.
Well, the way that it V's in the front. Yes, it does.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, the recent Lexus models, their grill makes their cars look like giant beard trimmers, I think. Next time you see one, you'll see that.
what caught my eye was on my birthday this year, they released the first look of the GV80, their first SUV in the Genesis model.
Right.
And it's really a great looking crossover. I mean, it's pretty sharp.
Yeah.
And the price point, you know, starting at $48,900, interesting. Interesting.
Don, what else is on that list before we move on with our agenda here?
I think we haven't talked about this Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
The Cybertruck.
The Cybertruck, man. Such a I mean, you're right. It is completely something out of 60s and 70s sci-fi, you know, some kind of post-apocalyptic thing with futuristic. It's like,
I mean, Mad Max is going to be coming down the road here. I'm trying to figure out if the doors open to the side like they – no, I don't think they do. They couldn't because of that V, like their other crossover, but no. The inside looks really, again, uncomfortable, first of all. The front seats, the bucket seats look a bit uncomfortable. They, again, look like something that you've been put on a rocket and stuck in there. But I like all the windows. Fascinating.
There's my inner child from the 70s and the 80s wants to like this thing.
And yes.
Oh my God. I just pulled that.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's almost like you also could like, it's a ramp. It's an,
right.
The top of it is completely unibody. I mean, from the apex of the roof, mm-hmm. down to the front grille and the back. There's nothing else. I wonder how it drives. We need someone out there to get us into test driving here.
I mean, that will always be the question, right? When it's always going to come down to how exactly does it drive.
Base price, $40,000, 500 mile range.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt. There's part of me that wants to say this is never going to remove someone's need for a Silverado or an F-150. And
I agree.
Yeah. But for someone who's at home, who just needs something to get back to, you know, from the builder supply store and back, of course, with the 500 mile range, it's pretty significant.
But how is it a truck? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to find a picture of what the back does, like how the back comes up.
If you go to Tesla.com, there's a whole thing with Cybertruck. And it shows you the back panel with the solar panel and then how it moves for the tailgate. No.
Yeah, it's...
I see it now. I see it now.
It is interesting. I remain torrid on the matter. It's just...
You could actually... They actually have them showing sticking a bike in there, like a right. motorcycle.
Right.
I see it now.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of city truck and just kind of a thing they can stick out there to say, yeah, see, we can do different things.
I think somebody designed it with a set of Legos.
I like Legos. This is yes.
I do too. Doesn't mean I want to drive them.
But you're right, Mickey. Oh my gosh, there's one with a thing that you can go camping.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm finding that fascinating.
Again, with the 500-mile range, if you're in Atlanta, you could go plenty of places within 500 miles to go camping. But I guarantee you that truly roughing it, there's not going to be a charging station anywhere near you to get the 500 miles back.
And there's much better tents that you can attach to Jeeps. I'm just saying.
Only go to.
Yeah. And I know, you know, 250, right. Yeah, go 250 and bring it back. But you have to plan in advance, and the country still lacks that charging infrastructure, right? We just don't have.
Yes, it does.
Need more of that.
I'm gonna go on my soapbox. We can pay for a $30 billion new nuclear plant, but we can't put charging stations in the state.
Right.
Okay, I'm done.
It all depends which bucket of money comes out of. But moving on with our agenda, something on our list from old is Ben had written up. Android Auto is not just for cars anymore. But Ben, please tell us what that was about.
Oh, well, Android Auto, which some of us are more familiar with than others, basically is now available on a motorcycle. You can get it on the Honda Goldwing.
No kidding.
Yeah. Of course, the Goldwing's often been accused of being a two-wheeled car, but you know that's the big luxury touring model, although they have trimmed it down and made it a little sharper and sportier for the current generation. But The Honda Potamus, as it's also sometimes called, does now have Android Auto.
Yeah. So because I'm an Apple guy for the moment, what does Android Auto do? It's basically just a smartphone integration for the vehicle, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean I could have an Android in my pocket and the screen itself in the car or on the motorcycle now acts like the phone?
I couldn't tell you that much because I've never actually played with it.
Uh-huh.
It's been in most of my rental cars, but I haven't felt, you know, a need to play with it because I can do everything I need. I just, you know, I either listen to the radio or I run Bluetooth from my phone into the radio.
Right. Exactly what I do. And I've always been curious if all of a sudden my apps are now available in that car without having actually to be in that car, then, you know, like if I could use my Waze or my whatever. That would be kind of cool.
I think that's the vision. I think that's what this is supposed to move toward is complete integration, mm-hmm. including starting your car with your phone.
Yes, that is happening. Yes. But which brings us to another issue that I had. I don't know if we ever adequately talked about this, but car privacy issues. You know, the more information we have going to and from the car, whenever your car syncs with your phone, it takes some of your information with it, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you then get rid of that car, doing a simple factory reset on the car may not be enough, right? To clear all your personal data out of it. And so the advice that I've heard is if you're going to do that, and if you have one of these, you know, cars that's totally integratable, that factory reset's not enough. You've got to take it to the dealer and tell them to wipe it of all the data, or simply don't use the integration. Just always plug your phone into the car using the USB port without using the whole,
So I'm trying to think that through in terms of like when my 2004 Mercedes battery dies because I haven't driven it in a few days. Everything is wiped. You know, like you have to just recharge it and then reset everything. So I guess there's memory even when the whole system shuts down.
That's right. That's right. But you know, again, if you're doing something like if you're syncing your contacts list or something like that, now every single email address and phone number you have in your phone is in your car.
But that isn't as bad as if you keep all your security passwords in. That's the problem, I think. Yeah. And if you use some type of software for tracking your expenses or, well, of course, if your own birth date is in there, that's a real mess.
That's a real mess. But. Becca, tell us about the Ford countdown.
Okay, there's a current countdown. I was thinking that I had missed it, and I've gone to the Ford website, and here's an actual countdown on the main screen. 2 days, 5 hours, 24 minutes, and 34 seconds until the world premiere of the new Bronco.
Ah, yes. And we've talked about that Bronco before on the show, and it's very compelling. I very much want to drive one.
I am anticipating, you know, so everybody today, well, from today, you know, not from when this episode airs, but 2 days, 5 hours, 24 minutes. I'm marking it on my calendar.
Yes.
Well, they won't be at the dealerships yet, though.
Oh, how long will that take?
They're actually saying because of the whole COVID-19 and everything, they might actually not hit dealerships until next year, possibly.
Oh.
I'm keeping my eye out, and if I hear anything differently, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as far as they're just, you know, out in the open media presence, it is being unveiled in that amount of time.
Right. Very cool. I'm reminded of Ray Shefska, the guy who joined us for a call and tried to do the Your Auto Advocate stuff with us once upon a time.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't heard from him a while, and I just realized that he and his son have started their own automotive podcast that's all around the car buying experience and car buying advice and stuff like that. I will have to find out the name of that and give them a plug, but that's why we haven't seen much of him lately. He's been busy doing that.
Uh-huh.
So, and you know what else we forgot this episode?
Grand Trivia Auto.
Yeah. And there's a reason though. There's a perfectly good reason why we haven't done Grand Trivia Auto for this episode is because I have run out of material for it.
What?
Yeah. I need questions. We occasionally ask the on Facebook and elsewhere for our listeners to send us questions, and occasionally we'll get one or two questions, but I need more of that. We need more of that. We need more people showing up with their questions, trivia questions for the show. So if you have any, you know, trivia items, Grand Trivia Auto items that we could talk about here on the podcast, we would very much want to hear from you. Definitely give you a shout and see if we can't stump our normal panel of people around the table with whatever questions you can.
Well, I can wing one right off the top of my head right now.
You want to do a quickie? We've only got like a couple minutes left.
Yeah, sure. This won't take long.
Go for it.
All right. How many different Ford Model A's were there? Were there one, two, or three different Ford Model A cars?
That's a limited choice, Ben. I thought you might have said 1, 5, or 10. But wow, 1, 2, or 3 Ford Model A's.
Yeah. I'm going to gather there were actually two because my grandmother owned one. And she traded it. She had one with and then she traded it for a rumble seat. And then she traded another one for everything closed up so she could take more friends to the beach. So I'm going to say 3.
You're going to say 3?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm going to agree with Dawn. I'm going to say 3. I don't know. I have no logic for this, except to think that Ford must have done more than 2. But I could easily be wrong, but still, I'm just going to say 3.
Yeah, and I was leaning towards 3. Ford always liked to offer options on things. It sounds like something they would do. But, you know, everybody else is saying 3, so why not? I'll say 2.
Okay, well, the correct answer is 2.
Oh!
Instigator wins!
Congrats, Becca. Congrats.
Thank you. See, what were the two? Everywhere. See?
What were the two models? What were the two?
Well, there was one that was produced in 1903 and 4, which is also sometimes known as the A model or the A-bone among hot rodders. And then the more familiar Model A that you're all thinking of was produced from 1928 to 1931.
And that's what my grandmother would have had that second
right.
one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ben, for pulling us out of the Grand Trivia Auto mess that we landed in for this episode.
You're so welcome.
If any of our listeners have trivia items, we would love to hear them and feature them on the show. In the meantime, I think that's all we have time for this episode. Hoping all of you are out there safe and sound with your friends and families. And we will see you again with another episode of The Thing About Cars in about a week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.